Welcome, everyone, to Edge Talk Radio. My name is Angela Zabel. That's me. Today, we're going to be talking about 360 prosperity, activating abundance with mentor, manifester, Maria Martinez from California. And who am I? My name is Angela Zabel. I have been connected to spirit my entire life, working with the team and the non-physical, sharing messages from a multitude of realms with people. I am a teacher, coach, medium, radio show host, writer, retreat host, gallery reader, doing speaking engagements, offering guidance, mediumship, and intuition with online, private, and group sessions. I also have classes and the Amplified Universe membership. This is a monthly membership growing our connection to us, our world, all that is around us, and our role in it. Sharing knowledge with others, working with people around the world. You can find me on pretty much all the social media aspects, but the biggest thing, go to my website, angelazabel.com. And today, we are here with Edge Magazine. Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, wellness, and the mysteries beyond, sharing information, wisdom, and resources committed to promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. They are currently distributed in 30 states plus Canada, with over 17,000 magazines per printing, and also a vibrant online magazine with over 42,000 people reached per month. You can have the magazine shipped to your door, stay up to date with the newsletter, or become a drop spot. You can go to their website, edgemagazine.net. And today we are here with Maria Martinez. She has come from a long lineage of shamans, and from a very young age, she started mentoring with the archangels, and her guides have included Archangel Michael, Raphael, Metatron, Jesus, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and other ascended masters. And she started exploring other dimensions, realms, universes, and galaxies. She's often had visitors from the Council of Light, other goddesses, and ETs have helped access and further develop her gifts through downloads, activations, astral travel, remote viewing, journeys across time and space, and learning much more about her gifts, ancient wisdom, the soul's mission, and our true potential. Through these teachings and experiences, she has discovered so much about herself and all of her empowerment. She channels the divine source intelligence to facilitate powerful healing and transformation. Her body of work incorporates DNA repair and activation, past life healing. She also includes galactic healing chambers, multidimensional bodies, repairs, awakenings, integration, inner child healing, quantum time lapse, timeline leaping, and also she has so much more to offer with her programs. She has online mastery empowerment courses, 360 programs, membership programs, individual and business coaching programs. And I've got to say, I was on her website and there is so much there to offer people. Make sure to check it out. She also has the Energy Alchemy Energy or Healing Manifesting Life by Design on the first and third Mondays, and that is through newsforthesoul.com. But go to her website. It is 360prosperity.com. And also, she's on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. There is so much to unpack here with Maria. And I just want to say thank you so much for being here, Maria. And I've got to ask, how did you get into this realm of mastery?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I started very young. I remember being 5, 6 years old, and my guides coming in and taking me on missions. At the time, I didn't know what we were doing. It was sort of what we did, right? It felt like almost like an adventure. And they provided me with everything that I needed for whatever purpose or for whatever mission that was. All the missions initially included going out and retrieving spirit fragments. And I say spirit because I see soul and spirit differently, as I see the multidimensional body, and retrieving those fragments to the individual to empower or hold space for sovereignty. And That work continued to evolve into releasing entity attachments, possessions, and even going into black magic and witchcraft. So releasing, healing, liberating not just the physical body, but the multidimensional bodies from any of those. And then it evolved into why not create our life by design, right? If we're learning to be free, and if we're learning that we have free will, if we're learning to that we have power and we're powerful, let's start designing our life. So that earlier work showed me what it was to be a victim to something, what it was to not have, be in your own power, what it was not to be the manifester of your life intentionally, because we're always manifesting, right? Whether it are things that we do not want or things that are in alignment with what we want. But that sort of gave me insight on the true power and true potential that we have as beings of light and our abilities and capabilities to be able to design and manifest and reorganize what we desire when we move into the right frequency, when we bring all our parts together, when we adapt that higher state of consciousness. When we move into that state of absolute, you know, this is, there's no other option. And that freedom, true, you know, liberation at every level, soul, spirit, energy. So that's, you know, that was sort of my journey here. And, you know, I'm talking about the liberation and empowerment, but because we're in a physical world, a material world, how does that manifest in that? So that freedom of creation in terms of our career and our success and our abundance and prosperity, and manifesting or attracting our ideal partnership and living that love life or fairy tale life. Health, being in our healthy body, designing the body that knows how to heal itself, activating, awakening the intelligence of that body or body or temple that knows how to heal itself. So that's how my trajectory brought me here.
I love that. And I'm going to back you up on something. So I work with a team in the non-physical, and they want me to back up. You said you look at soul and spirit as two separate things, as different definitions. Can you define what's your definition of soul and spirit?
Yes. So when I look at the individual, spirit is like omnipresent. It could be anywhere, and it could be in other timelines, in other dimensions, other realms, other planes of existence. The soul, and the way it shows up for me, especially when I see them as the multidimensional being, stays in the body. It's the first and last breath. And it activates the physical body. It activates the cellular system. It also holds the space for the spirit connection. And yes, it has a lot of memory. And it also, because it shares the memory of the spirit, but they act sort of independent, but together. And that's the same with all the multidimensional bodies. So the spirit, the soul, the energetic body, all our systems, as well as the emotional, mental body, and then the lower bodies like the inner child, the ego, all of that, they all have a relationship. But what I find is that that relationship is either not there or it's convoluted, it's been corrupted, not there, or it's been sort of influenced by something else. And so when we start looking at what is there, and we sort of separate the bodies, and then we work with each body individually, and then we bring them all together like a happy family, you know, we rebuild that connection with each other, then the body moves back into wholeness. Your whole self, your whole beingness moves back into wholeness.
I love that. I love that because I think so many people put it as one, and that we're just this one being, and you're showing you have that multidimensional aspect, our spirit, but our soul is the one that lives within our body per se, or that is us inside. I love the fact that you brought that together and help separate to show they're asking me, my team is asking me, so how does the soul and the spirit communicate? And when you're working energetically with these to work on both sides, how do you bring them together, or how do you get them to coordinate better or communicate better with each other?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And a lot of time what I find is that the spirit is actually the one that is not connected to the rest of the bodies. Especially if there's been trauma in other lifetimes, or if there's been trauma in our childhood, the spirit is pushed out of the body. I mean, it's able to go in and out, but when that trauma happens, it's almost like forced out in that shock moment. And if the relationship is not there, your self-love, your self-awareness, your self-connection is not there, it may come back, but that needs to be cultivated through the healing. And if that doesn't happen properly, it's almost like it continues to create space. And then at some point, the spirit gets lost or it gets sort of stuck somewhere. And I see that a lot, especially with people that have trauma, where we go back to another timeline, another lifetime, or even during the childhood. And then we retrieve that part and we actually awaken the spirit. So the connection that I see when I'm working with spirit, the spirit is infinite. And actually, our soul is infinite, right? Every part of us is infinite because we have the divine intelligence. But at some point, we've forgotten that we are infinite. And that forgettingness kind of spreads through all our multidimensional bodies. The spirit and soul are the closest one to that remembering, to the higher self. When the spirit stays out too long and doesn't have the connection with the physical body, it starts to adapt sort of what happened during that time as its current state. So that's where the forgetting really shows up because it forgets that it's an infinite. So a lot of times the work what we do is going back, reconnecting to spirit. First of all, locating the spirit in whatever time dimension it is, whether it's a high or low dimension or just across a space. And then we notice what is happening. What is the story? What is the belief system that it took on from that experience that it's lingering? And then we release that, and then we awaken the spirit to its true potential. And that actually happens very quickly because the spirit does remember, the spirit knows. So it shows you the influence that the mind has on every other aspect of ourselves as well, because that's the mental influence, that's the emotional influence. So that's why these bodies are so connected that sometimes they take on sort of personalities of each other. And when we awaken the spirit, the healing happens very quickly and then returns. So that part of the spirit returns and it begins to heal. That so when we're here, when I'm working with somebody, I see this spirit as it is now, and I can see the many parts that are missing. So when that part comes back, then it changes the essence of the spirit currently present, of that part of the spirit currently present. And then we keep doing that. We keep doing. We bring all the other parts until we're fully integrating them back into the spirit, and the spirit feels whole or more whole and complete. And then we reconnect that spirit to the soul, that spirit to the mind in this current state. Like, what is the desire now? What is the desire connection? What is the desire relationship? What is now the intention moving forward? And we begin to build that relationship. And part of that relationship is self-love, both with spirit and soul. The act of self-love and the practice of self-love fortifies that relationship. Because it's light, right? If you reject any part of yourself, you're rejecting the light within you. If you accept separation, you're actually holding that light outside you. If you accept I'm not good enough, then again, that light is there, but you're not acknowledging that you're infinite, that you're your potentiality. So the light is present, but it's not connected, it's not aligned, it's not embodied. So the relationship and the healing process is bringing back, first of all, the fragments, and then reconnecting the soul and spirit. And the way we connect them is also by now awakening the soul as well. It's like the soul is waiting for spirit to come back, waiting, waiting, waiting. It is waiting for that almost like a purpose. Like, okay, where is this other part of me that I am also holding space for? And then once we create that connection, then the body also changes. Because the soul is the vitality, is the life force of the physical body.
Got
So
it.
you can see the difference in an individual in that moment when you've activated the soul and spirit connection and the physical connection, that it's very, very visible. They look more present, their eyes look brighter, they look more in their body. Their posture is even different, right? They feel even stronger and grounded in who they are. So it's very, very, very visceral. And then, of course, that relationship needs to continue cultivating because, when you have that initial connection and then you go back to the same, then again, you go back to the rejection, or you go back to not good enough. So we want to continue building that relationship, cultivating through self-love, self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, self-belief, self-trust, and embodying I am enough and I'm worthy and deserving. And feeling that within you, feeling those frequencies within you, and holding the frequencies of gratitude and love, and honoring yourself for who you are, the totality of who you are, which is spirit, soul, an energetic being, and then every other part of you.
I love that, doing that integration, bringing it all together. And you talked about going up and finding the pieces, bringing them back together. Is this something you learned to do with your spirit team that you started with? How did you start understanding how to bring the pieces? Or is this something you've always, where you could see when pieces were missing? Is this something you had innately? Is it something that you cultivated? How did that happen?
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. I feel like I was able to see, because this was part of my soul work in other lifetimes, and I came with that in with that knowing. But you're as a child, you don't really know how to access that, and I feel like that's why my guides were coming in to show me how to do this work, because it did feel very natural. It was, again, it was like an adventure, and I never really knew what we were going to do. But I always knew that it was going to be amazing. We were going to accomplish something. We were going to do something really good in the world. And it was. I don't remember ever feeling afraid and asking, what if I don't know how to do this? I remember traveling with them, whether it was to another timeline, another space, another dimension, or in the astral plane. And the moment I needed, whether it was a tool, or a statement, or a command, or a decree, whatever that was, I knew I could hear it, or I could see it being handed to me. Many times they gave me ribbons to tie different things. They gave me oil. They gave me powders, like gold dust. They gave me tuning forks. They gave me water. So in many different situations, the tools were always there. They always provided the tools. And as soon as I received them, I knew what to do with them. But I was a child, so that's why I know that I came in with that knowing. And then I did continue to cultivate that. I remember that initially it was a lot of surrender. I just was going with the flow. And then when they started moving me to like releasing black magic, witchcraft, and all, and more of the darker things, that I felt like I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand more. And that's when I started expanding my awareness and expanding my knowledge, by asking them questions, by having them, show me different ways of doing the work, or different ways of receiving or accessing the resources that I needed. My initiation to shamanism started about 8. So I remember these early years where I was being mentored by my guides. But at 8 years old, we had a family friend, and we were introduced to who she be she became our friend, but she was a shaman, and immediately she recognized who I was, and she said, "Okay, we need to do certain things for you because you're doing all this work. You may or not or may not be aware of it, and we need to make sure that you have good boundaries, that you're safe, that you have some level of authority, consciously." So at 8 years old, she began to initiate me, and actually my siblings as well, though I was the only one that chose to pursue the work that I do now. And then at about 17, 18 years old, I left for college, and it was 2.5 hours away from where I lived. I went to school in Santa Barbara, and it was like a shock, being away from my family. It was in a different environment, and of course, being on your own and having to manage yourself. So what I found that shock created was an amplification of my gifts. And every night, or as soon as started get, afternoon, 6, 7 o'clock, these portals began to open in my dorm room, and it became very chaotic because, one, I didn't know who was going to come in, and I wasn't really afraid. It was just very disruptive. They needed something, wanted something, or were just there and disrupting. And some of them were not very pleasant. They were very, very dark, very low demonic entities. So it wasn't working for me. The studying and the going to class and all of that. So I came home and I told my mom, I said, this is who I am. It's not really going away. I need to gain some level of mastery. So we went back to our friend and she said, yeah, you're ready. So that's when I started my shamanic training in about the age of 17, 18 years old with her.
That's pretty amazing because, and to have a family who is introducing you to shamanism and people who are teaching it, and then for them to be open and teaching you the other people in your family, that's pretty amazing. Were they always that open and supportive? Were they supportive, and are they still supportive?
That's a good question. So I actually come from a lineage of shaman. My grandfather was a shaman. So my mom was aware, and she actually has the gift as well. She's very gifted. She expresses it differently. Were they afraid? Yes, because my grandfather was not around. And especially by the time I was in college, he was sort of in the end of his years and passed shortly after that. So her fear, my mom's fear, was, you don't have all the training. What if something presents itself, and what if you didn't know what to do? So there was a little bit of fear of, don't put yourself out there. If they find you, but don't announce it. Just kind of keep it quiet. So she was trying to protect me by, I guess, keeping my gifts hidden. But that didn't really work.
It doesn't work very well.
Yeah, this would work. But now she's very, I mean, they're very proud and they're very happy. And especially because my grandfather often comes, when I'm doing activations, when I'm working, especially when we're doing ancestral work or cleansing, clearing the ancestral lineage, or he was very powerful in removing entities and black magic and witchcraft. So he often comes when I'm working with somebody when we're doing that type of work. So when I sometimes I share the stories with her, oh, my grandfather came. She's like, oh yeah, tell me about it. I want to know. So it's now it's her connection with him as well.
I love that part of it. And I was wondering if he comes to join you and to help you with that. And then is he also one that helped you with some of that darker energy? I know you've talked about the black magic and like hexes and things like that. And when you started realizing, I think you've realized it for a long time that darker energy was there. How did you deal with it? How did you work through it to move past the fear of it and then just understanding it and working within it?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I mean, I've been asked that question before, but as you're asking it, it's reminding me when I was young that I, when my guys were having me go with them to do the different missions, I realized the importance of being free, right? The importance of the spirit connection or feeling complete, feeling whole, and exercising your free will. And when I started coming across black magic, it felt very not of the light. It felt so unbalanced. It felt like that's not supposed to be there. It's taking so much from the individual, from the soul, from their potential, from creation, from their power, from their free will. And I feel like when I recognize that at a very early age, it's almost like this surge of energy said that needs to be cleared, and that's going to be part of my focus. And I knew it was part of my mission because it came so easily to me to be able to see it, to be able to release it. And the more I saw it, the more I wasn't actively looking for it, but I stayed open to see, okay, is it this? Is it, is it ancestral? Is it karmic? Is it their own energies? Is it their own fears? Is it something external? Is it, so I would always be open to finding anything that was not of the light, that was interfering with it. And I say that I wasn't always looking for it. The reason I say that is because I don't look for things that are wrong. I look for why isn't this person living the life that they want? So I look for what is the highest potential. And then from there, I look for what is in the way? So then I stay open to what is in the way, and that's how it shows up.
And that's very interesting. I'm curious. I'm just hearing from my team. I'm curious because there's a lot of people that I know that have been talking with me that are kind of concerned about the dark energies as a whole on the world. Is there something that if it is, if you do or if you don't, that's up to you, but is there something people can do to help dissipate the dark energies, say in the world itself?
Yeah. So the dark energies are going to be there, but it's whether or not they have power or not.
Yes.
And we can think about dark energies as that duality of, the opposite of the light. And we ourselves also have darkness within ourselves. And the way we heal that darkness is by embracing it with light. So to dissipate sort of the darkness of the world, then we embrace it with light. We embrace it, but it starts with ourselves. It's not something that we can continually send out. The power is how we hold the light and how we hold that high frequency, high source frequency. So when I get asked this question, how do I protect myself? I said, just be the light. Be the light, be in the state of absolute, like I am absolute. I am completely aligned. I am completely in the state of flow and fully integrated in integrity with who I am, the divine being within me. So when you have that complete alignment and you have that resolve about who you are, there's very little that gets in. What the darkness gets in when, or attachments or entities or whatever that is, the black magic gets in. It gets in when we live in fear, when we feel insecure, when we judge ourselves or others, when we play the victim role, when we victimize others. So that's all not being in the light, right? When we come back to the light, it's like we're putting a shield around us. And then as we continue to stay in that flow, it amplifies that because we are the ones that are emanating. We're creating that pulse of light that goes out through our field. So again, to answer your question, how do we diminish that, or how do we, how to bring more light to the world is by being the light ourselves and
Love
being
it.
that and being in that place of certainty, knowing who we are and knowing that we're free, that we're creation itself, that we're sovereign, and that we're the authority of our life and everything that we are, our multidimensional bodies. So when we accept that, when we embody that, then we're not giving permission to anything to attach itself. We are revoking whatever had permission to be there. And we are holding a higher frequency. And that frequency goes out into the world. Our frequency as a beacon impacts 40,000 people. So imagine if we shifted from, where we are now to the highest level. And we all did that around the world, then we the world would light up if we did that. Yeah. So that's my answer. And
I love it.
I love that question. I'm sorry, I love that question because when people ask me protection, 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 I say, well, if we want to look at this from there, then we're looking at it from fear. We want to look at it from everything around me is information, and what do I want to do with it? How do I want to relate to this information that is being presented? And that's one of the skills that I learned early on when I was seeing very dark demonic entities and other entities out of this world that were coming in that wanted to sort of prey on the fear, that wanted to hook into the fear, that wanted to hook into my sort of innocence because I was young, or that wanted to create terror because I didn't have the tools. So when I moved into discernment, this is the light and everything else is not, and everything else is information, and I can shine the light on this information, and I can decide how I want to relate to it, and I can decide how it's going to relate to me. Then I am in complete power and authority. I am sovereign. I am the divine within me. I am the universe within me. So that's my recommendation for everybody. It's a great practice because it helps you to be grounded, feel grounded. It helps you to amplify your manifesting abilities. It helps you to create your ideal life because you move from everything that was going on that was not working for you to Ooh, now I have a blank space or blank canvas. I get to decide how I want to orchestrate that, or how I the painting that I want to paint.
I think those are just amazing words. And I've just got to say, my team has been just going like, yes, that's what they wanted people to hear. So
Beautiful.
thank you so much, because it is so important to, like you said, if you're always worried about protection, you're not stepping into who you really are. I think that is so important for people to understand, to step past that fear. It is great information for people, and I highly encourage people to go back and listen to that again, because there is so much within what you just said that you really kind of need to break it down a little bit and understand it and keep re-listening, because there is amazing information there. And a lot of times people don't, you get some of it, but you don't get all of it. And when you re-listen, you hear it again and you start getting more of it. It's the frequency, and you offer an amazing frequency to people. And that's something I like, the frequency you're offering when you're speaking is felt and heard by many. And when you talked about manifesting your life, manifesting, and we live in a material world, to manifest money to make your life easier, is that also something you do with some of your sessions? And what is it with manifesting and our light that kind of all ties together?
Yeah, well, manifesting is creation itself, right? And it's also the alignment of your desire and what is fulfilling to you. So when we talk about manifesting, there's actually a formula for manifesting, but it starts with the decision of what is the vision of the life that I want to live? What is the ideal that is good for me and everybody else? Like this is good for me, good for the world, right? And when we have that ideal, so that's why I say we always start with the highest potential. And then from there, the formula is clearing what's not there. So part of the manifesting formula, once we have the vision and the intention around the vision, then we look at the alchemy. What needs to heal? What needs to clear? So that's the alchemy that goes into the multidimensional bodies and also to the external. And then the emotional and the mental. So we actually engage all the bodies. The mental and the emotional is the worthiness and deservingness. Myself, or what do you believe about yourself, and what's the new identity that you want to adopt? So you get to decide that too. And we get to deconstruct all those mental models, all those paradigms around how you earn your worth or how much your value is. Because in reality, that's all a lie, the way we've lived our life in terms of how you earn things or how you're gain your value. It's really up to us. We get to decide that. So once you get to the point and you say, well, this is my value. And then we move into the alignment of that value. And to move into that alignment, then that's the inner work, the emotional work, the self-love, the self-acceptance, the inner child work, healing the traumas there. And then we continue along this formula. So that you can step into that true alignment of who you are. And then we work with the relationship and the frequencies of money, wealth, prosperity, success, and abundance. So then we work with the frequencies, and then we work with the universal laws. The universe wants to give us everything. The universe is not working against us. But a lot of times we feel like we have to do it alone. And we create that resistance, or we create that delay. But when we understand that when I put this out into the world, and it's pure intention, and it's my highest vision, and it's good for me and for everybody, and then I'm doing what I can, and I'm letting the universe know, here, this is this rest of the things to do are for you, the universe responds, and it responds very quickly. So we work with the laws of the universe. So that's the formula for manifesting. It feels long, but it's really not. It's self-actualization. That's really what it is. You're moving into the mastery of who you are, your own awareness, your understanding, your state of consciousness, your money consciousness, understanding how you relate to the world and how the world relates to you, and then how you can shift that in every moment, the relationship that you're creating, because that relationship is creating an effect, and that effect is creating your reality. So understanding, oh, I just created that. Let me uncreate that and create something different. And then again, living in the space of alignment and healing and love, and honoring yourself for who you are, being in relationship with the divine, being in relationship with the universe, expressing yourself authentically, creating impact in the world, being of service to the world, all of that really accelerates your manifesting ability because it feels so good. It feels so good to be you, and it feels so good to be of service, and it feels so good to be supported by the divine and all of those pieces together. Again, it's like you say, end this, and the universe says, here you go. Yeah. You say, end this too, here you go. It just happens so quickly.
I love that. And you talked about the frequency in money and how that works. When you're working with someone, do you tap into them and find out what their frequency is relating to money? And are you, they're just showing me like tap, seeing their relationship with money. And then do you then work on ways where they can have a better relationship with money? Because it just feels like there's so many people, I mean, you're taught, you don't want to have too much money or you're bad. And there's so many things out there that we're taught that I don't think are correct. What's your opinion on all of that?
Yeah, one of the parts of the formula that I didn't mention is the soul wealth. And soul wealth, it's an understanding that we have a divine fortune that is given to us at creation. So the universe is abundance, creation itself is abundance. So we ourselves are abundant, but we separate it from that, we separate it from our soul wealth. So part of that is returning to that place, and the work there is about that connection with source and universe. So going back to your question, when I look at the frequency of the individual, it usually shows up as an image or shows up as a picture of something. So if I look at the frequency of money for somebody, it gives me how they relate. So they may feel, is it okay if I tap into you? Is it giving?
Absolutely.
Okay. So just to give an example of, and I'll do the, because they show, I look at them differently because they have a different frequency. So money is options. It shows up like, let's get going, let's do it. It almost shows like building blocks. That's how money shows up in many occasions. And it wants to be a salad. It wants to build the foundation of something. It wants to build the temple of something. It wants to build that project. It wants to build. The energy of wealth shows up very luxurious because a lot of the times, and it also depends on the individual, but a lot of the times they relate that to material possession. So it shows up very luxurious. Abundance feels very joyful and is very amplified. And it's like good things happening to you that are not necessarily related to money and it's not necessarily related to wealth. It could be like somebody giving you a gift or somebody giving you their parking space or somebody paying for your coffee. So abundance is just this joyful energy where you recognize that the good in the world. You recognize that everybody wants to do good and wants to give and wants to be of service. And then the energy of prosperity is a lot of times it shows up like your empire. Like, oh, this is your empire, and then this part of your life is working, and this part of your life is working, and this part of your life is working. So it feels like this sort of extension of like an empire, like a kingdom. That that you have. So when I look at the individual, I'm looking at, okay, so where are these sort of elements? The other way that money shows up, it's either a river, a waterfall, or an ocean. So when there's no river, I said, okay, there's no river means there's no flow. Okay, let's go see if there's a waterfall. Oh yeah, okay, there may be a little bit of a waterfall, but it's just very thin. So there isn't much abundance there. And when I look at the no ocean, okay, so you're not really living in the vastness and the flow of all possibility. So we work on sort of bringing that back into the energetic field, the flow of money, the abundance, like this sort of, infinite flow of abundance and that expansiveness of always available. So when I look at an individual and oh, since we're here, I'll look at you. So for you, money is on the left side. It's almost like tapping you on the shoulders, like, ah. And all these energies, because they're consciousness, it's like they have personality and they want to give you a message or they want to work with you. So money that it's sitting on the side, it has an image. It's almost like a furry animal, and it's very playful. It wants to get your attention. It wants you to acknowledge it. It wants you to enjoy it. It also wants you to have more fun. That's why it's showing up on like this furry animal. And What I like to see is that it's more than sort of an image, that it's more about an expensive energy that, that supports the work that you do, so that it expands through the floor and it creates a beautiful gold foundation for you, that it's part of your field instead of outside your field. So these are the things that we work with individuals, like transforming that is separate outside of me to it's part of me, it's an extension of me. And now as an extension of me, it's working for me. Because money wants to amplify itself, it wants to duplicate itself. And again, it's like a puppy that loves you unconditionally, wants to bring you gifts, it wants you to be happy, and it wants to do whatever you need so that you can be happy and have what you want, because that's unconditional love, right? So we want to have that relationship with money as unconditional love. We want to have that relationship with money as I am unconditional love, and that it's an extension of who we are. And then see the money itself, the energy of money actually working for us, building that foundation for us, building our structure, building the groundwork for the road that we're on or the path that we're on. So it's very visual, in terms of the images that come through in the relationship. So as I was talking, I was kind of inviting money to come in and to come into your field. So it's actually changing from sort of a furry animal outside tapping you on the shoulder to sort of this more expansive energy that does, that again wants to be part of you, wants to be in the field, wants to enjoy, because everything has a purpose. Every frequency has a purpose.
Yes.
And ultimately, all frequencies are divine consciousness, divine love. But then we give it a purpose. So money purpose, abundance purpose, whatever that is that we're working on. And we are creation itself. We are the divine within ourselves. So these frequencies in actuality are who we are. So we want to delete and uncreate that separation. Yeah. So now what I see this frequency coming in, it's coming in sort of a blanket of energy moving through and then going down the back of you and almost coming around, wrapping itself, but it's hanging right here, sort of like a cloak. So again, it's showing it's part of you, showing that it's part of, your essence, who you are. Yeah. And when I look at, okay, well, I really would like to see you as this just full, expansive energy that amplifies itself and creates the magic. And what I hear from that, from the energy of money, is that there are some limitations, like you have some limitations. Some of them you mentioned, like having permission. Do I have permission to have this much? Do I feel safe or am I safe? Is it okay for me? And that's simply about giving yourselves permission, right? Because really nobody is, source is not saying, hey, you can only have so much. Source is anything you want. The universe is anything you want. So we want to move into that place of infinite possibility, infinite flow, infinite receiving. And as you know, once we feel like, oh, this is so beautiful, once you decide, I have $25 million, I have $30 million, I think that's enough for me. The rest, I will allow it to come in, and I will distribute here, I would distribute there, and I would distribute there. So you don't have to limit yourself if you don't feel like you have a purpose for the money, because you can always find a purpose for it. We can stay completely open to it. We'll stay completely open to it, to receive our divine fortune, our divine fortune. And the other thing that I want to share is that if we've had trauma in our life related to money, it's never lost. We just couldn't hold it during that time, and it's still there. And we can call it back in. It'll show up very differently, or it may show up differently than what it was before. But in actuality, it's never us, because it's part of our divine fortune. So that's something that I like for everybody to really understand, that even if you had a loss, that can be recovered. And it shows up. It may show up differently, but it's still yours. Yeah.
Love. Well, thank you so much for that. And I've just got to say, I think it's awesome for people to see how some of this works. And when you were talking, as you were talking before, I could feel the energy going down, coming in and coming from the one side and going down all the way through my body and up. So it's definitely palpable, and people can feel it is definitely palpable. So thank you for that. And I like
My
how you
pleasure.
talked about the trauma when, or if you have trauma dealing with some things with money, how that can still be in that background and how you can move through that. When you find trauma with things with people, because honestly, there's a lot of people where, you come from a family who maybe didn't have a lot of money growing up and things like that, that kind of sticks with you for a while and you have that fear of losing that money. Is that something also that as you're working with them, you start releasing that, or is it just them acknowledging that doesn't have to be you? How does that work, or is it both?
Yeah, it's both. That the first step in clearing and releasing is recognizing, acknowledging what is there. And then I know sometimes we're not able to see what is there, but that's when we can go deeper and that's when we get to facilitate. But the very first step in letting go of what is not yours, first of all, is recognizing or deciding, nope, this is not mine. This is not my life. This is not something that I want to continue to express. So it's that choice because that's your free will. And for many years or for many lifetimes, we didn't have access to our free will. It was hijacked. And now we want to restore that, our divine will, our goodwill, our soul's will, our interpersonal will, our powerful will. We want to bring that back and align it so that when we say something, it is so, it is so, it is so. And part of that is choosing, deciding, moving into the awareness, accepting that awareness, and not settling for anything less than that.
I love how you brought that up about talking about for many lifetimes, we really didn't have that free will, the ability to do. And I just want to say, they're just saying, for those of you who think that, everything is the same through all lifetimes, look at this lifetime and how many people are talking about energy and consciousness and bringing that through. What a shift that's been. This is the lifetime. So much can shift for so many people. And I love the fact that you're there helping so many people do that, helping them to find that freedom within themselves, releasing themselves from all of that energy that's held so many of us back for so many lifetimes. And now it's getting shifted. And it's because of people like you who are doing this and helping so many people. And I want to thank you again for helping, for putting me on the spot and going through it. I think it's amazing to see, for people to see and hear what you do, how you do it. And I've got to ask, you have the first and third Mondays. Do you still do that with the soul, the show prosperity, or what is that?
Yeah, that was actually, I'm not doing that anymore. The recordings are still available. It was the
Okay.
first and third Monday, and I was yeah, it was the soul prosperity where we talked a lot about the sort of the themes that we covered today. And when I went deep into and I actually did a lot of processes to help the audience clear. I do have a monthly masterclass that I do on wealth consciousness, and we tackle different themes. Like last week, which was at the end of the month, we looked at the energy that we so we looked at past finances that we're holding. So like the retirement, the home, all of that. But what we were looking at was the frequency in which we created it so that we can release, so to move it into an infinite possibility so that it
Got
wasn't
it.
stuck with only that or just enough or that's as good as it's going to get. So we released a lot of that. And then we also worked on trauma from the ancestors, carrying on their trauma. Because again, a lot of times we are holding contracts and agreements that are keeping us from saying yes to what we deserve or yes to what's available to us or asking for more than what we currently have because we're carrying the trauma or we're carrying the contracts of poverty consciousness or lack and scarcity of others. So we cleared a lot of that. So I do this on my monthly masterclass. And the next one is coming up, I believe it's the 26th or the 27th. It's the last Friday of the month.
Love it. And that's, I know you've got the different monthly classes. I highly encourage people go on her website and check out all Maria has to offer, because you have multiple different options for people. You have the master classes out there, and there's so much more. You have the I was looking through, you have the individual business and program sessions, the disc and for people who don't know what to do to start, I think you have the discovery sessions so they can figure out what is that all about.
Yeah, the discovery session is exactly for that reason, purpose. If you're thinking, oh, this is what's going on with me, I'm not sure if any of your programs or any of my programs can help you, but you want to see if there's another way. So that's what the one-on-one sessions are for. We can work on your specific concerns or issues or whatever it is that you want to change in your life. But I can answer a lot of questions during the discovery call. It's more, I do a reading so that you get an insight of the things that are keeping you from having what you want. And then I say, okay, this is what I see, this is what's going on, and this is what we can do. And then you tell me how you want to move forward with it. But it is a reading because I like to give you insight to exactly what your situation is and how to move through it. And how we can work together to do that. How can I can support you.
I love that. And like I said, there is so much on your site and with the master classes. You have so many different things. I think there's the master courses and the, I'm trying to, there was two master courses on there. I wrote it down and now I can't read my writing.
Yeah, so so that's the Wealth Masterclass, and I also do
Yes.
other master classes around health. So I do energy alchemy and health, and those are specific to the topic. When I look at health, I look at the individual the same way as a multidimensional being, but I also incorporate functional nutrition and lab testing, diagnostic testing. So sometimes I talk about specific symptoms or imbalances, and we go through what is causing them and what, sort of what is the protocol or what is the strategy to come back to balance. And I do that in the health master classes and also in the energy alchemy. So energy alchemy is a little bit different. It's more about your energy. Yes, I do talk about the multidimensional bodies, but it's more about your ascension, accessing your gifts and your talents. Activating more of yourself, your potential, and the DNA, unlocking more of your DNA.
I love it. Love it. And that's one of the things I just love with looking at what you have to offer. And it's really people just understanding who they are, being able to understand the frequencies, the energies, and you make it so clear. I hear from my team, they're also saying one of the skills you have is to help make people understand it in very clear, concise manners so they can take it and grow with it and
Thank you.
continue to expand who they are. And that's that they're just saying that is something that is you are just a specialist at, is having very clear, concise ways for people to move forward. And they just want to say thank you
Thank
for
you.
how good
Thank
you
you.
do with that.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to thank you again. And is there something you would like to cover before we close for today?
I just want to leave everybody with a message. First of all, thank you. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you and the space that we're in now.
You.
I mentioned to you that my mission really started early, and it was about freedom, sovereignty, your authority in creation. And I feel like this is a like we're in this place of a big opportunity to really step into that. So wherever you are, whatever you're in your state of awareness, your state of consciousness, really lean into I am the authority of my life. I am creation itself. I am the universe within me. And be very intentional of the things that you're no longer tolerating and also what you're now inviting in to create the next level of your life. And do not allow yourself to have any other option. And be all in with whatever you decide, determined, devoted, clear, intentional, committed. Fully present to that. That results in certainty and expectancy, and that also results in becoming limitless, becoming unstoppable, because you became very aligned and very laser focused, and you said everything else, no, thank you. This is the highest and good for me. I'm going in and I'm going all in, and you just keep going and going. So I encourage everyone, just to kind of take a look and see where you are. There's, today could be the beginning of the rest of your life. And I always say there's, it's every day is a reset. Every day we get to start over. Every moment we get to start over. So in this moment, we get to start over for the rest of our lives. And we can with gracefully look at the past with love and completion and be completely open to the future and everything that is possible in the future because we're creating it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that message. I think a lot of people, including myself, needed to hear some of that because we are creating a new world and we're doing it in a way I just feel it's so filled with love and compassion and people excited to create once again instead of feeling so put down because it feels like you said, we have been in this cycle for so long, and now we're finally breaking out of it. And it's new territory, and it's people like you that are helping people navigate that new territory with ease, with flow. And I thank you so much for all you are doing. Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Maria.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
And I just want to thank you again for your time, sharing your knowledge with all of us here. And also, I want to remind everybody, make sure to watch the next episodes of Edge Talk Radio. They're on the first and third Wednesdays of the month at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you've missed any past episodes, no worries. They're available on YouTube. They're available on pretty much all of the downloadable podcast areas. Go ahead and watch all of the past episodes there. And also, I want to thank everyone for watching today because this is a time of expansion in our universe. So I want to thank all of you for listening, expanding, and amplifying our universe together. Have an absolutely amazing day. Thank you so much.